Hey folks, welcome. Susan Baracco here. Happy Wednesday to everybody. Glad to see you all joining. If you would, just say hello in the chat so that I know that my audio is working properly and I can say hello. And Eva, welcome. Glad you're here. Eva's on fire these days. And so glad to have you here. Michael, Ryan, glad you're here. Daniel is here. Welcome. Let's see. Oops. Thanks, guys. Thanks for saying hello. If you feel like it and you want to answer our just for fun question to get us started while we're waiting, I want to wait just another moment or two for more people to join us. So if you have a favorite book, and it can be business, it can be fiction, it can be any book. I happen to be a big fan of, oh my gosh, I'm drawing a blank on her name right now. Sue Grafton is one of my favorite fiction writers. I have all of her books. She wrote the A to, well, not quite Z mysteries. So she passed away last year, I think, from cancer and didn't get to finish her series. She had one left. She still had to write zero. So yeah, I love Sue Grafton. Hey, Eva, yeah. She's awesome. She's just a great writer, and I love her. I love Kinsey, her main character, her protagonist. So she's it's just really fun read, very escapism. Eva says my favorite two are Atlas Shrugged and the Bible. Awesome. Awesome, awesome. Yeah, that's one of my favorites too. I read the Bible 2 years ago, cover to cover. It was quite a challenge. Quite a challenge, but I did it. So my challenge right now is finding the time. So I have it was 1 year I read like 15 books in a year. I was pretty excited about it. And it was because I committed to reading 5 pages a day. And that was all I read. So it helped me to get through a lot of books. It was amazing how many books I was able to get through in that just doing 5 pages a day. So it doesn't take very long to read 5 pages a day. So, hey, I see David has joined us. Welcome, David. Let's see. I'm not sure if I see anybody else. All right. Cool. All right. Well, we are going to jump in and get started. Ryan says one of his favorite but somewhat obscure business books is How to Sell Anything by Harry Brown. That's interesting. That would be an interesting read. All right. Well, I'm going to dive right in and get started with my first real question for you, all of you. This group has been very active. I've been seeing some really great things on the Facebook group. So thanks for continuing to share. But would love to hear about a win, whether a big or small win that you've had in the last maybe couple of days or the last week or so. Please type it in the chat with a capital W so that we can all celebrate with you. And Daniel says, you're too overwhelmed to pick a favorite book. I get that. So many choices. It's true. Maybe Stephen Covey's 7 Habits. It's truly one of my favorites too. It's so enduring. Don't you wish you could produce something like that? I mean, that book is so enduring. It's amazing. Still rings through today. Michael says, Game of Thrones. Great escape book series. Good for you. But yeah, it would be cool to write something that enduring, especially a business or leadership book like that. There's only a handful that really have endured the way 7 Habits has. It's still relevant today. So, all right, Daniel says, smallish win, doesn't matter. We're not looking for size here. Got contacted to write a webinar for a healthcare marketing agency. That's terrific. That's not a smallish win. That's pretty good, I think. Because putting a webinar together is not necessarily a small task, depending on how long it is, if it's half an hour, 45 minutes. But even that can be putting all of that together is a pretty big task. So congratulations, Daniel. That's awesome. Great news. Michael says, 9 warm email prospecting emails went out from my new business email address. Awesome. Congratulations. Congratulations. That's great. Way to get started. Eva says, I just signed my first ever $10,000 contract. I have 2 other contracts pending for ongoing monthly work on top of that. Wow. That's a big win, Eva. I saw that. I think you posted that on Facebook. Congratulations. That's really cool. Doesn't that feel great? Like, ooh, it's possible. It's really awesome. David says, listen to my gut and step down from my position as content manager for my only in-house client and devoted all that extra time to new clients, website, training, etc. Instantly paid off new clients at higher rates. Yay. That's a great story. That is a really great story, David. I would love it if you would just share a little bit of that. And I'm not sure if you already did. I'm not sure if you did in the Facebook group, but other people would benefit from hearing about that. So, you know, maybe just do a little bit more detail than what you shared with us here, but that's a cool story and an important one for people to hear. So, and Ryan says, I connected with a writer in another Facebook group and she keeps sending me quality leads that she doesn't want or can't handle. Wow. And the prospects are in my niche. Congratulations. That's a very cool win. It's nice to find a partner like that to be able to help out. That's really, really cool. Eva says, thanks, everybody. I'm super excited about how this year has started. Yeah, you're off to a really strong start. That's great. Michael says, I didn't care for the in-house part-time job I had with a legal marketing agency last year. Yeah, this marketing agencies can be, you know, it's a love-hate thing with them. Patricia, hey there, didn't see you come in. Welcome. She says, got the first draft of my website done. Congratulations. A lot of work, isn't it? Whew. It's actually some heavy lifting there, so good for you. Yeah, David, just on the discussion, just put it in the, pop it in the thread. Just wanted to share. I had this experience. It's really, you know, it helps other people read that kind of stuff and go, huh, you know, and think, all right, it's not just me. And maybe that's something I should consider. So awesome. 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 Thanks for sharing. So I want to jump in and just find out, my next question is what you're implementing. And this could be anything at all. It could be something from the training modules. Maybe there's something that you're revisiting. If you are new to the program, maybe it's something that you're just, you know, diving into now, part of a game plan or something like that. Maybe it's something, a new approach that you're trying that might help other people if there's something different that you're doing in terms of marketing or reaching out to people, anything that is maybe something you're just trying something new. I would love to hear about that. So type a capital I in the chat and let me know if there's something that you're either, you know, circling back around to. I see people do that a lot in the training modules. They go back and say, oh, you know what, I think I want to review something that I got a lot out of. It's amazing. All right, Ilhan, hey, welcome. Didn't see you sneak in. Glad you're here. And he says, I've put the material on pause while working on a big project. Maybe this is a bad idea. It's not so much a bad idea in the sense of ongoing learning, as long as you haven't put your prospecting too much on hold. I certainly understand when I'm working on a big project, it's hard to keep up with that. It's hard to care on, to be candid. It's hard to care about prospecting. But I would suggest that you keep that, move that to, you know, really just making sure that you get some kind of prospecting done every week, even on a small level. Eva says she's modifying and updating her capacity planner so my brain doesn't explode. Yeah, with the workload you've got, I definitely, I think that's a great idea. I'm glad you find that helpful. That's really neat. Michael says LinkedIn 3-2-1 strategy, planning to put in my first 30-minute 3-2-1 session today. Great. Keep us posted on Facebook. Let me know how that goes. It's interesting to hear people having some good success with that and trying different things. So definitely keep us up to date in the Facebook group on what kind of response you get and how that works for you. Ilan says, I think I'll at least watch the productivity module. It's a good idea. And Patricia, I saw your comment. I'm not sure if that's a question for the question section. When we get to that, I'll come back to it about growing your list. But in the meantime, if anyone has any suggestions for her. All right. Daniel says, still working on implementing some of the profit first banking stuff. Have to plan a special trip to the branch to set up some things. Yeah, unfortunately, you do have to go in. Also working on a content calendar, and I've been taking Ed's advice and recording voice memos for content ideas. It's so handy to do that. You know, you're out driving somewhere, and sometimes when you're driving, you relax, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, you know, I came up with a great idea. It's great to be able to record a voice memo, capturing it any way that you can. Sometimes you're at a networking event, you go to a breakfast or a lunch or something or some kind of a meeting and you hear somebody saying something or maybe the presenter or whoever talks about it. Yeah, you can get some good ideas when you're out and about and getting away from your desk too. Awesome. Eva, thank you for that resource for Patricia. Yeah, I always go to Ed's podcasts when I have questions, when you people have questions and I want to see if there's a resource. His podcast is amazing. I mean, he covers so many different things. It's really great to hear from him as well as from his guests on how they tackled some of the challenges. But if you, Eva, I saw that you say you can't remember the number. All you have to do is go in and just Google. You could even Google Jennifer's name. And it'll come up. So you'll be able, Patricia, you should be able to find that pretty easily. Ryan says, implementing. I'm just ramping up my outreach efforts. Now a matter of how good you are, it's still a numbers game. Or no matter how good you are, it's still a numbers game. The more you play, the more you win. That's very true. Very, very true. All right. David says, I tend to revisit the scheduling lesson on a regular basis because it needs to be changed based on new clients, scheduling, et cetera. I'm currently trying to implement more tips from the pricing lesson. Good. Oh, there you go, Eva. Thank you for that. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, good. Ryan says, Jennifer, go forth. Gregory, I gotta write that down. Jen, go forth. Gregory, I'm going to look that one up. She has a great book. Thank you, Ryan. Thank you. All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for sharing and participating. As always, it's really great to... It's really great to have you guys on here and active in the call. So I hope that you brought some questions today for everyone to chime in on. It's kind of nice to have this brain trust of people that have been doing this for a while to share ideas with. So feel free to type in a question, please. Make sure that you put in a Q in the chat, a capital Q, so that I don't miss it. And keep it brief and focused if possible and specific. One question per person. We have a pretty good group today, so I can always come back around if you have more questions and tell me what you're thinking about too. If there's a, kind of frame it up, and I will, if need be, I'll bring you on so you can explain with a little more detail and we can actually talk about it. And I'm just going to go back to Patricia. Is there a resource for growing your list? And I know, hold on a minute, because I want to just look up for you in the training modules, growing your list. So hold on. I would imagine that there's in the market section of the training portal, I'm looking through some of the titles right now of the different things under developing a marketing plan. And I think that in terms of growing your list, and the best thing to do is to listen to that podcast. That would be my first recommendation, is go back and listen to her. Especially if they're, that's specifically what they're talking about. And maybe even grab a copy of that book that Ryan suggested, because that looks really interesting. What is it? The Freelance Content Marketing Writer. Yeah, I think that would be a, I'm big into education in terms of, for me, it's ongoing. So I'm continuous learning, right? We've heard that term before. I'm always reading. I'm always taking courses. I'm always trying to be better, get better at what I do, and to understand more, broaden my understanding of not only the work that I do from a craft perspective, like my own personal skill level, but also business-wise. I'm always looking to grow my insights on how to grow my business. So that's just a good thing to be constantly on the lookout for. I attend a lot of webinars and things like that. I'm always looking for new ideas. So stay curious, my friends. Is that what it's? I think it's a tagline from something. All right, Ilhan, you're first up with a question for me today. What is a minimum viable level of prospecting that I should maintain over a longer project? What kind of blend between prospecting, following up with the sequence, and nurturing? I think that you can, in my opinion, I think that all can follow, that all can come under one bucket. So you're busy on a big project, it's taking up a lot of your time. I think that setting aside some time in your schedule for prospecting, and so maybe it's a half an hour or an hour a week, something like that, or something along those lines. Maybe it's, you know, half an hour twice a week or something. So you're basically putting some effort in. I think whatever you decide, you might even do something, even to keep it simple, is to maybe set up 3 half-hour time slots. And for each one, you focus on one of those. So new prospecting, following up with the sequence, or nurturing, which I think the sequence and the nurturing are kind of the same thing. But, you know, just rotate back and forth. Keep it simple. You know, really keep this simple. It's not rocket science. It's not something that, you know, and it's not an exact science either. You know, what works for you, who knows? Who knows what's going to work depending on the industry that you're focused on. So what I would do is just balance it. Balance it. So you're doing it for 15 minutes. Maybe you can only do it for 15 minutes, you know, a couple times a week or something like that. But just rotate through those things. So the first, you know, time slot that you have set aside, do all new prospecting, period. Just do that. Then the next time slot that you have set aside, do your work with sequences. Then the next one, all nurturing and reaching out. And just keep rotating through so that every time you sit down to do that, every time you open your calendar, has that set aside, you're focusing on something different in that sequence. And then just keep rotating through. I think that's the simplest and easiest way to do it. All right. And I hope that answers your question, Ilhan. Feel free to type in more if you need more detail or want a little more info. Michael is up next. Your question: my first 9 warm email prospecting emails were from my personal email address, but I've changed to a business email address. How do I follow up with those? That's a great question and a really easy answer. is to simply now when you're going into, so they've already started in your sequence, so to speak, right? So that you sent emails out to them from your personal email address. It's your next touch should be an email that talks about the fact that, hey, just following up because I have a new email address, maybe I have a new website, whatever the case may be, that goes on. Anything that's new, is reach out to them with that information. Say, I reached out to you before, but I want to just follow up and tell you that I'm excited that I have a new email address, I have a new website, whatever the case may be. So blend that into the message that you're sending and kind of insert that in your in your sequence of touches in your warm email prospecting campaign. All right, Patricia, you're up next. Your question is, I have a client who's a financial planner and she's not aggressive or over the top. She's been feeling like she's been passed over for opportunities. So she's asking me about thought leadership or getting out there. Any suggestions or insight? So Patricia, I'd love to bring you on. I'm going to unmute you because I have a question for you about that. Hey there, Patricia.
Hi there.
How are you?
Just lovely.
Good. Good, good. Well, I have a quick question. It sounds like she's, has she done anything like thought leadership or anything like this before? Or would this be brand new for her?
It's brand new. And so she bought this gentleman's book or half of his book. He's looking to retire. So a lot of his people are older and sort of more stable, that kind of thing. So what she would like to do is and she's really not being able to bring her own personality into her work. So because she's dealing with his clients. So I've been working with her for the last 6 months to try and get her to, you know, change her niche and be a little bit more out there with the audience that she wants to eventually get to, which are women, who are starting over again, so divorced or widowed that kind of thing, so that who don't really have a whole lot of financial acumen.
Gotcha.
Go ahead. So anyway, right now she's just feeling like she's being passed over for opportunities or not being chosen to do things because she's, you know, not in the old boys club or not, you know, she's not aggressive or, you know, that kind of thing. So we were talking a little bit about thought leadership and getting her out there to introduce her to people or opportunities where she could speak or, you know, social media where she could post and that kind of thing. So I've never done thought leadership before, so I'm not entirely sure where to start.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's actually fun and a great way for her to get in front of everyone. You know, one of the things I would suggest that you think about for her is of the book of business that she purchased or that she's taking over, how many of those people, and this isn't a question I expect you to answer, but just one you might ask her, is how many of those people do you think are in the target market? So she's bought, obviously it's a book of business, she wants to cultivate that. But how many people in there are actually in that niche of, you know, women that have, you know, maybe newly divorced or something like that. And maybe if there's a way to segment that list, that would be a number one thing I would suggest is to start. So then you can send two different messages, right? So the women in the group, the women who fit that category or fit those criteria, you send them one set of messages. Hey, here's a new blog I just wrote that you'd be interested in, blah, blah, blah. And then you could do something different for the people that are, that don't fit that. Everybody else, if you will. And you might think about if she has a good relationship with the gentleman that she purchased the book of business from, is to talk with him a little bit about, so is there anything that you have done, you know, what have you done in the past? And maybe pick up and take over some of his positive habits in the sense of reaching out and contacting. Is there in the first quarter, is there something you usually send out? Or is there anything that you normally send to your clients to ask, you know, or anything they share? Has he done that in the past? And if so, what did it look like? So that you can get a feel for, we want to bridge the familiar with the new for that audience, right? So it's like, oh yeah, you know what? Harry used to do that every year this time. Okay, cool. So now Sally's doing it, you know, so she's new, but the style is the same. And this is just for a short period. I would suggest start out with this and then migrate them towards something as they get to know her, and that know, like, and trust starts to build. That's really what you want to focus with on with the people that are with both audiences. This whole audience of, they don't really know her, they may or may not like her, they may not trust her at this point. Yeah. She's really got to focus on, how do I do that? How do I start building some relationship with these people so that, you know, so that they don't feel, so that they start to feel comfortable with her and that could ask her a question. You know, she could even interview you could interview this guy and say, you know, what were the top three concerns for your clients? What were the top three mistakes that you saw your clients making before they started working with you? And start talking about, again, you're sharing some of his wisdom, and you're just kind of adding on, saying, you know what, this is, and so she's using his voice and his thoughts, but kind of, you know, hey, that might be, you know, here's three things that we see in the profession or whatever, and figure out the best way to present that. Obviously don't plagiarize or anything like that, but you know what I mean? So you're kind of, again, just ways to bridge the old with the new.
And in terms of gaining more, I guess, street cred outside, would you suggest something like LinkedIn posts or...
Absolutely. You know, absolutely. LinkedIn, of course, I'm a LinkedIn junkie. So that's going to be my first thing, but even a post on her own website. So you're going to write a blog. You're going to put it in both places so that you can use it for anyone, you know, to attract anyone, but really start working on with her again, same thing is, she may know these things off the top of her head. The two may have to do a little bit of research. But so what are the top three mistakes that newly divorced women make when it comes to their finances?
Yeah.
What are the top five mistakes? You know, and then tackle one per article.
So right. Okay.
Mistake number two. This week I'm talking about mistake number two, or this month, or whatever. So you're kind of dragging that out over the, but you get more mileage out of it by saying, hey, and next up, you know, pay attention for number three, or, you know, and then link back to the old ones, that kind of thing. So you're creating a series for her to showcase her. And then that can also go out in as a link in an email, in a newsletter.
Yeah, exactly.
E-newsletter, you know, you really start weaving all that stuff together.
Yeah. So, okay. Awesome.
And same thing on Facebook, you know, don't discount Facebook, especially if her audience is women in a particular age range. Facebook is just a great place to get the attention of especially the middle age, you know, women and that kind of thing. If that's her target market, is someone like maybe 35 to 50 or 55 or something, that's a great place to target them too. So.
And I was also thinking about adjacent, like Ed was talking about, you know, if your audience is women, like, so she's a financial planner and she's looking after this. So if she created relationships with, I know a mortgage broker who a lot of her clients are women who just, you know, who are looking now for a new house or whatever. So like that kind of thing.
Yep. Yep. You could do that. Yeah. You could easily do that. She could even look at maybe interviewing, doing a brief interview with a mortgage broker. Here's you know, my pal so-and-so says about, you know, women looking into, and so you're, and then they can even share that as well. Right.
Exactly.
So they can share it. You can use their network. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. You're absolutely on the right path.
Okay. Thank you.
Good. All right. Good luck.
Thank you.
Great question. I did thought leadership for quite a while in the beginning of my business. It's really fun. You can really get creative and have a lot of fun with it. No matter how much of an introvert or an extrovert you are, there are ways to approach this where I would think your client would be comfortable. If they're not terribly aggressive, you need to slowly encourage them to be a little more aggressive, because it is an aggressive business climate out there these days. And there's too many financial planners to choose from. So she needs to, you know, kind of step up to the truth of, okay, I got to do something to attract the people I want to work with. And how am I going to do that? What's the best way? So it's got to be comfortable for her to a certain extent, but it also has to be a little uncomfortable you know, you got to do something different, you know, to attract a new client. You've got to figure out the best way to do that. So anyway, hope that helps. All right. Eva is next. question. Her question says, I have had a number of clients at the same time, but I finally built it to a point where I have a few long-term projects on my docket along with smaller things that come along. So my question is, how do others balance their client projects? Normally it's been deadline driven, but with these larger projects that take time daily, weekly, monthly, how do you take on new clients and schedule appropriately along with charging? It's all in the same fee schedule unless they expect me to drop what I'm doing to work on that project. Then I've been adding to the cost. Let me see. It helped me to have theme days, much like Susan said, but I only focus on one prospecting type each day. Try doing a little of this. Oh, okay. Sorry, you were didn't realize that was answering his question. All right. So one thing I would say, Eva, probably the easiest thing to do, what I do when I, because I too work on very long-term projects. Sometimes my projects can last a year or more because I help people write their books. We're working together for at least a year most of the time. So what I do is, and there's still a deadline, even though it's a year out, it's still, that's still a deadline, right? Even though it's not, okay, it's due next month. What I do is I take, I actually back into it. So I look at, the number of, for me, I look at the number of hours, or one of the ways that I've done it in the past is how many words do I need to write for me because I'm writing books? How many words do I need to write each day, each week, each month in order to meet my deadline? So if the client has contracted me to write an 80,000 word book for her, I need to break that down into months. Right? I need to divide that down into how many words a month and then how many words a week do I need to write in order to stay somewhere on track. So I'm backing into those numbers saying, okay, how much time do I think it's going to take me? And hopefully you can look at these projects in a way that from a monthly perspective, like how much work do I need to do each month? And then back into, okay, how does that translate into hours for me? How many hours do I think it's going to take me? Or should I allow myself and then schedule around that? And that's one of the easiest ways I have found to back into like these big long projects because it's overwhelming. Like when somebody sits down and says, okay, write me an 80,000 word book. I'm like, ooh, okay. And then I've got, you know, I've got a due date. And then a second person comes in and says the same thing. All right, now I really have to get my act together, right? I've got to give both of these people, both these projects the right amount of time. So for me, I get really analytical. And I'm not an analytical person, but for this kind of a situation, I always kind of back into it purely from a numbers perspective. How much time do I think I'm going to need? And then do I have time to take on other projects? So then, you know, that becomes the question, like what other kind of projects do I think I have time for based on what I know? So if there's research involved in what you're doing, if there's interviews involved in what you're doing, you've got to figure all of that in and back into it. So, and then pad it a little bit. I always give myself extra time and I really try to stay on track and break it down by quantifiables. So for you, it might be, all right, it's an ongoing blog. Let's say it's a blogging project. And I know I need, it's going to take me at least, you know, 2 days to write the blog and do self-edit, right? Or maybe to do the research and everything around it. So maybe I need X number of hours to do that. So I'm looking at, come up with a, like, I know for each article that it takes me 6 hours total. Let's just pull that number. So I'm going to spend this amount of time. I need to put in a block of 6 hours. Maybe you break that down into, you know, three sets of 2 hours at a time, that kind of thing, depending on how you work and what's comfortable. But backing into that, from the big picture, breaking it down of okay, how do I chunk that down into day-to-day activity and go from there. And sometimes things have to give, like we know, prospecting, that's one of the ones that unfortunately is the first one to go, but we don't want that to go too far, right? We want to make sure that, you know, sometimes with, we want to make sure that we keep prospecting in the mix is what I'm saying, and not to eliminate it altogether and outreach. But sometimes I'll save that for a Saturday morning, you know, or Sunday afternoon kind of thing. If I know I've you know, that's just the way it works, is that, you know what, I've had to do that before where I was working on a couple of really big projects simultaneously. I just didn't have time for the prospect during the week. It wasn't going to happen. There's nothing wrong with spending an hour in your office on a Saturday morning, or, you know, something like that. It's not something we want to do all the time. But sometimes that's what we do. It's the only time you can fit it in. So you want to basically look at how much time do we need, because what becomes priority are these big projects that you're making really good money on. Those have to take priority. And that makes sense, but make sure that you're overflowing into, and there are times when I've got big projects, I'm working a full day on Saturday at times in order to fit it all in. Not something I recommend on a regular basis. It makes it really challenging, but it really depends on, that gets old really fast, but it's something that, keep that as an option. Like, you know what, it's, if I'm the only one who can do the work, then I've got to fit it into to what I have going on. If I miss a day, that happens to me. I travel a lot. So if I am out of my office on a Monday or a Friday, I'll work the following Saturday to make up for it if I have to, at least a half a day, if not more, to make up for that day if I've lost a day during the week because I was not in my office. So that's, again, personal choice, but I'm hoping that the idea, the concept of breaking it down from that big, you know, kind of dividing it into literally into numbers and then deciding how to fit that in. I'm hoping that that makes sense and that helps. All right. Lots of good comments going on in the chat. Thanks everybody for the sharing your perspectives. It's really helpful. All right. David, you're up next. Can you recommend resources that make automating easier for actual work? For example, creating formatted documents for articles where you simply plug in keyword, meta description, subheadings, outlining ideas. I'm on a lesson for productizing your services, and I really like the idea of creating a plug and play format for article writing, for example, but I'm not sure if there's anything outside of Word that would be useful for creating these. I would imagine, David, that there's probably resources out there, you know, literally just going on a search engine and doing a search. One of the things that I have done in my own, I've looked at other people's, I guess, intellectual property, if you will, and because that's kind of what it is. And I've actually created my own. So I've looked at, and I've had other people, quote unquote, borrow mine as well. I give some of my stuff away for free on my website. But it's, I'm a big fan of doing exactly what you're talking about, is that not so much automating, but formatting documents so that, because I'm doing the same thing over and over, right? You're talking about the same things and you don't want to miss anything. It's almost checklist-like. And so I create my own. I take the time to create my own because then I can share it with my clients. It's documents that I'll share with my clients directly. And that way I can, I want to be able to share this information. It makes me a better resource. So I like to create my own. I would go out and look, see, and maybe someone here actually on the call has some ideas as well, if there's a resource out there. But I always Google stuff first. Start there and do a search, see what I can find, see what comes up. You might see something that you think, yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking, but I actually wanted to say this or that or the next, you want to do something different. So I will actually put in, sometimes I'll take a Word doc and put in a table and then maybe do alternating colors and things like that so that I actually have space to type in and do like content to actually write things in there. So it's more than just like a word or a checkbox where you're actually putting in specifics for each area. So it's simple. It does take a little bit of time, but if you're going to be doing a lot of repeat work and if it's something that you just are for internal use only, create something that you're comfortable with and do it yourself. But I personally don't, I've seen other people's, like I said, I've borrowed ideas from people like, oh, I like the way they have that laid out. but I want to create my own so that I can use it for myself as well as for clients. And I don't know if that I don't know if that's helpful. I mean, aside from actually buying them from someone who is a resource, that's another option. You know, you might do some search and find there's always people out there who are looking to help freelancers. You know, they sell courses and webinars and all this other stuff and resources. Some of that, and I've taken some of those myself over the years, some of that's really, really helpful. I find that just seeing somebody else's handout in that way sometimes can get me going on some good ideas. So, but I would recommend creating your own. And I have personally, I've used Word. And like I said, just put in a table and do different colors. You can change it all around and that kind of thing. Do a landscape instead of profile or whatever. And just format different ways to do it. So I hope that answered your question. I don't know if anyone else on the call has any other thoughts. The other thing you could do, David, is put it out in the Facebook group and see in case there's someone that's not on the phone today that might have that kind of a resource handy. But as far as I know, just, you know, especially something for article writing, you know, there's certain things that you always have to put in, like you said, subheads and meta descriptions, keywords, etc. You know, I've seen that from agencies, believe it or not. There's an agency that I worked with that had a form like that for, they hired a lot of freelancers and I was doing that for a while, and they had basically, it was an online form. I logged into their platform, and in their platform was the client. This was a big agency that I worked for in the Boston area. They were big, and they did internationally. They had clients internationally. And I wrote for some pretty large companies as a result. It was kind of cool. And anyway, their platform, that once I became a registered freelancer for them, their platform would actually have all of that. So here's reference links, here's the contact information, here's the keywords we want you to use, here's, you know, so was a pretty cool form, but it was an online live form. That's another thing you could use as like a Google Docs. You could do something like that if you're an online kind of person. You could even use something like that. But yeah, I strongly recommend just develop your own, and then that might be something you could use in a myriad of different ways as you start developing your own business and as things grow. You don't know. But it might be a great tool to use with your client, you know, something you could send to a client, say, here, in order to get us started, fill in as much of this as you can, you know, of keywords you want me to use, or, you know, reference links to articles that you like, or that kind of thing, things that are related, or, you know, just putting in that, plug it in that information might be something that they could help fill out online, you know, share that document and fill it out together. Great question. Awesome, awesome. Let me see. All right. That's some good questions today. Good questions. So thanks for participating and coming up with your questions. If there's anything else, we've got more time here, just a little before the hour, so we definitely have more time. I'm going to ask you folks another question. What has been valuable so far in our call? We talked about a lot of different things today, mostly like around planning. It's interesting how these calls go, because sometimes that's all we talk about is pricing. Sometimes it's all we talk about is, you know, prospecting and that kind of thing. But this has been really more around productivity, which is interesting. It's great. That means that all of you are getting busy and bringing on some new and exciting clients. So good for you. Anything that's been valuable so far that we've talked about? Anything that kind of stood out for you? Just type in a chat, capital V, and let me know what you've what you found to be helpful so far in our, and I'm still taking questions, so feel free to type in a question if you have one. What's been valuable so far for you? What's been the most helpful? All right, so Ilhan has the next question. It says, I'm enjoying working on the web copy project that I'm working on right now. How can I get more? Definitely, number one, make sure that your website has content about the work that you do. Make sure that you put this up as a sample if you can, if possible, and talk about it. The other thing that you could do is do a takeaway and write a very short blog article that you could share out. And it might be something that you recognize and as a result of working on this project, maybe something that you think would be helpful for other people to know about. So maybe it's a takeaway like, this client really thought that, they really weren't clear on their message, or maybe they really weren't clear on their audience before you started and you helped them to get there. Maybe something that, something simple like that. So one key takeaway, and you don't have to name names, especially if you're still working on this project, but you want to be able to say and talk a little bit about, in this one particular project with this client, they really struggled with this part of it. And here's how we worked together. Here was the problem. Here's what they struggled with. Here's how we worked together. And here was the result. So, you could talk a little bit about that. That would give you a little bit of creative content to share out with people. And then just keep contacting people, organizations in that same, the size company that you're working with. Take a look and see, what size are they? In other words, how many employees do they have? Just as a rough estimate. So, this is maybe they've got 20 employees, maybe they've got 50. So maybe you're targeting that type of company for that particular project, that particular type of project. The other thing, Ilhan, you could do is reach out to web designers and see if you can partner with web designers. That's a simple, easy thing to do. Reach out, do some networking with web designers. Hey, was looking at your website. You do amazing work. I specialize in web copy for this industry or something like that. And would love to, be on your resource list or something. That's a great way. I actually did get a fair amount of web copy work that way through an agency. That's one way, but that's a little bit more difficult, but I would recommend, independent, not so much freelancers. You could reach out to freelancers, but even web design firms, small web design agencies. Those are great places to become a regular resource for if you enjoy this work. All right. Got a bunch of people here putting in what's been valuable so far. The reminder to keep focusing on prospecting. I'm not motivated to do it, but I will reason my way into it. It does happen. It happens to all of us in terms of you get busy, you get, a nice cash flow coming in, and you just don't feel like prospecting. I absolutely understand. Patricia says, what's been valuable is the reminder about theme days. Yeah, definitely. David says the value he's gotten so far is the idea of having a formatted document to send to clients and they can fill in some of the content beforehand. Yeah. So you want to make sure that you pretty it up, make it look professional and crisp. If you know of a graphic designer who could help you with that, really great. Keep it simple, but have them help you. I'm not like a great graphic designer. I do a lot of my own stuff, but it's not great. If you can, have somebody help design it almost. And that way you really look professional and put together. Eva says, what's been valuable so far is to go through each of my projects by time and then build in a buffer, then decide if I need to take on other things or schedule them out further. Absolutely. There's nothing more exciting to be able to say, I would love to work on your project, but I'm not available till April, you know, a month from now. Let's revisit. And if you can wait, yes, then let's work on it together then. Because that's nice. It's actually kind of a cool thing too, to you're in demand, and that's a really cool thing. All right. So let me go back. David, you had another question. So part one, outside of the pricing lesson that features Ed's master fee list, can you recommend any other resources to review? I'd like to create a reliable master fee list, but I'm in the middle of making that messy move from per word and per hour rates to project-based. I've reached out to the group and Daniel has been a great resource. Thank you, Daniel. But I'm trying to read as much as I can to get a better idea. So developing your price point is, especially when you're making that transition, first of all, congratulations, and the sooner you get there, the better. It just makes life so much easier. And it also is going to help you to target a higher level client. So you're going to be overall making more money, going to spend less time counting words and chasing minutes, and more time doing the work you enjoy and getting paid decently for it. So it just simplifies your business. And that's one of the reasons that Ed strongly recommends. And then you can start to raise your rates easily. There is a fair amount of trial and error in regards to rates. I wish there was an easier, quicker, down and dirty way to do it. Using Ed's master fee schedule as a guide, adjusting your rates either, you know, down a little bit if you feel more comfortable doing that, if you're just getting started, or maybe there's something you don't have a lot of experience in, adjust them down a smidge. That is the best way to do it. And then there's just going to be the trial and error period where you're putting those, you know, someone asks you for pricing, you put together a proposal, or you put together, you know, you respond with some pricing information, and see how it goes. It's just, there's not really, it takes time, right? And Eva can talk a little bit about this too, because I know she's been, you know, she's continued to kind of grow her business. And there's, you know, in the beginning, you start a little bit lower, you start to grow that, you increase those numbers. You know, she's now got some great contracts, bigger dollars. It's awesome. Takes some time to grow that part of your business, and it is trial and error. I've lost some great clients because I priced too high. I've done that a couple of times. But then there's a part of me that's, you know, there are also clients that if they're not, especially what I'm doing now, I charge a lot of money for what I do now. If they're not ready to make that investment, then they're not going to be a good client. That's just the bottom line. But with what you're doing, what you want to do is, it's like A/B testing almost. Is here's what the going rate is. You can go out and do research too online to see what other people are. Some people put their pricing on their website. That's always interesting to see. Ed and I both strongly recommend against that. But some people will put their prices out there. That's one way. And it's just a matter of, you know, Google, search for your competitions, search for your competitors, see if they've got pricing out there, see what they're charging, and what their rates are. The tough part about that is that every project is got some uniqueness to it. So you're going to have, you know, your prices are going to be different based on the requirements of the project. So that's why there's ranges, right? That's why we do the ranges, because it's every client is different, every project is different enough that that you want to have some flexibility. And like I said, it's a matter of testing the waters a little bit on the price to see. But there's also, you know, you use the word reliable, and I love that. I'd like to create a reliable master fee list, but I'm in the middle of making that messy move. I think that what reliable in my mind means is what you're comfortable with. And I think that start with, you know, put a stick in the sand and say, okay, here's what I'm charging for a blog article from now on, between 500 words and 800 words. This is how much I charge. And create that fee schedule and be okay with it. Be okay with it and work with it for a little bit. Work with it for a month or two. See how people are responding. If you're getting a lot of pushback, then one of two things is happening. Either your price is a little too high, or more than likely, you're not targeting a high enough level client. You might need to level up. So people are making good money writing blog articles for companies. That can be done. And so don't, you know, and that's just one example, but don't be afraid to try some different things. Use your per word pricing to calculate and then add $200 to that, you know, just say, all right, this is how much I'm charging, and put a stick in the sand and give yourself a starting point. That's and something that you're reasonably comfortable with, but almost like Ed likes to say, is something that you're a little bit uncomfortable with. So in other words, it shouldn't be a number that you're thinking, oh yeah, that's fair. So fair plus a little bit is the best way to start, so that you're not underpricing yourself as you first make this transition. And then you have a part two to your question. The bulk of my business is article writing, which is what I've been talking about. I know we should be getting away from per word rates, but on Ed's master fee list, there's a per word rate. Really? I'm slowly increasing my rates with articles with every new client, but I'm still not sure if there's a hard and fast way to price these articles that's reliable and accurate. So yes, you come up with what I did when I was in that space and working on writing articles for people is I came up with a minimum. Like, I won't write a blog article for less than $500, period. I don't care how long it is. I don't care how long it is. I got to be that insistent. Like, you know what? It's a blog article, and it means that I have to, depending on whether or not I know the industry, if I have to do any research, how many times I'm going to have to edit. If there's, you know, if I'm giving people, you know, a client two rounds of edits, do I have to do SEO, you know, keyword, you know, revise it for keywords? Do I have to post it on social media? What other kinds of things do I have to do? So if I add all of that stuff up, $500 is my floor. So the best thing to start with, honestly, is a floor and go up from there. So I won't write an article for less than $500, period, because it's just not worth my time. Are there people out there that are cheaper than me? You bet. There always will be. Always you will find someone cheaper than me for everything that I do, for every type of work that I do with my clients. But that's okay, because what you're looking for, what you're looking to do is make that mindset shift in your own mind to being a consultant, because what comes with that blog article isn't, you're not just cranking out words on a page. Before, when you get to this level where you're starting to talk with a client and they say, okay, we want you to write X number of articles for us. Well, let's back up the train a little bit here. Tell me about your business. Tell me what your messaging is. Tell me about your audience. Tell me what you're trying to accomplish. Do you have a marketing plan? Do you have a marketing strategy that you can share with me? What has worked well for you in the past? So what you're bringing to the table is consultancy. You're becoming a strategist for that client. You're not just cranking out an article. If you want to do that, then put yourself out on Fiverr and go for it. But what we recommend, and what Ed recommends, is to transition to strategist. This is about you being a professional and bringing everything to a higher level. And there's no way that a per word price could cover strategy in terms of, and that's why I got to that point. Like I said, I just picked a floor and that's my bottom. I don't write an article for less than $500, because we're not just going to talk about the article. We're going to talk about the big picture, and we're going to talk about your whole business, what you're trying to accomplish, who you're trying to attract, what's important to you. How do you want to be? Tell me more about your messaging, about the image you want to project. What you're trying to accomplish. There should be a whole strategy and a whole plan behind. Yeah, I may only be writing one article, but gosh, there should be a strategy somewhere. Is it the CEO and he or she has an opportunity to write for an industry trade magazine, perhaps, or trade publication of some sort. How do we want to present that? How is that going to fit in with your overall business strategy? How do you want to sound? What are the things you're trying to accomplish? What do you expect this article to do for you? And what are the results you're looking for? This is all strategy that you should be talking to about your clients, with your clients. Whether it's a website refresh, it's really critical, right? How does it fit into your marketing strategy? Well, tell me what you're trying to accomplish. You're going to have that same set of questions for your client, regardless of what you're writing for them, or at least you should. So when you start thinking of yourself as a professional strategist and writer, then all of a sudden those numbers, the prices that you charge are going to make more sense, that you're going to feel better about. And you're bringing something that there's a lot of writers out there who will just crank out an article for someone. You don't want to be one of those. You want to be that strategist. You want to bring to the table that all your experience is worth more. So I'm on a soapbox here a bit, so I apologize for that, but I hope that's been helpful in terms of you thinking about why you want to get away from per word rate. And I'll have to go back and look at Ed's master fee list, because it's interesting that he's got a per word thing on there. I'm going to go check that out. And I'm going to call him on it. I'm sure he's got a reason for that, you know, Ed. He's got a reason for these things. So, but I want to go find out. So thanks for sharing that. And I hope that was helpful. All right. I'm just scanning through the comments here. And Eva said AWAI has good pricing guidelines. Absolutely. But I have modified Ed's to where I want to be, which is about 50% higher than where I started in his program 20 months ago. Yes. And that's what I was talking about, is that, you know, this is going to develop. The pricing will develop for you over time as you start working with clients. Awesome. Interesting. Byland article. Thank you, David, for thought leadership for that. That's, you know, I think, and see where he put, David, just in the, what you just put into the chat about the Byland article, 800 to 2000 words, 150 to 175, and then in parentheses, $1,500 minimum. So again, I don't write an article for less than X, right? Depending on what it is. So there's a lot that you're going to bring to the table with that. And that's the more important number that I think you should be focusing on, is, all right, what is my floor? What's my bottom line or my minimum charge for this fee, for this particular type of project? And then go from there. Awesome. Awesome, awesome. Great stuff. Great stuff. Thanks, everybody, for thanks for sharing your wisdom and adding more to the chat and more information and sharing your ideas with each other and exchanging. That's for this group in particular, where you've all been at this for a while. Many of you, some of you are still kind of new and getting started and ramping up, but it's a great blend of experience here. Lots of good insights to bring besides me on my soapbox about charging plenty for what you do. All right. So I'm going to ask my final question, but we still have time. So if you have other questions or other things that you want to talk about, feel free to type that in the chat. But let me know what your top action item is for the coming week or so. We are amazingly more than halfway through February. I am blown away that there's a little over a week left of this month. Phew, that month went by on me. Yikes. Anyway, so it's incredible. It's good. It's all good, but it's incredible. Anything that you're going to be working on, and it doesn't have to be anything we talked about today, but just anything in particular that you have a top action item. What's like the number one thing you really want to focus on in the next week or so? And Eva's first out of the gate, and she says, to review my article outline and more, modifying to my capacity planner based on hours and perspective, from an hours perspective. Patricia says, getting my website up. Yay. Yes, yes. Michael says, made LinkedIn 321 a daily habit on top of warm email prospecting. Excellent. Excellent, excellent. Excellent. Good, good. Yeah, great. Great stuff. It's interesting. It seems like people have been very busy already, you know, just even in the first month and a half or so of 2020, people have been, what I've been seeing in the Facebook group, lots of people are busy. That's terrific. Dave says, take the feedback from today, create a formatted document, a floor price, and writing a new interview sheet for clients that includes some of the things that I mentioned. Great. And Patricia says, start a warm email list. Absolutely. Good for you. Great. Awesome. Well, congratulations to everybody who's here and has picked up new business. These are all great questions because it means that you're getting busy. The kinds of questions that you have, it means that, you know, things are, you're finding clients and things are starting to, things are clicking for you. So that's awesome. That's great news. And if anybody else, last call for questions or comments, anything at all. And thank you all for being here and for being active participants. It's much more fun for me. It's much more valuable for everyone on the call and anyone who's going to be listening to the recording afterwards. So thanks for your participation and your willingness to help each other as well. So I wish you guys all a great rest of the week. It's sunny and beautiful where I am today, cold but beautiful. And I hope that things are good in your part of the world. And don't forget to jump on Facebook and share your wins, share your challenges, share your questions, so Ed and I can continue to support all of you. So have a great week, guys. Take care.